Almost anywhere you go in the Western world, the men and women that you speak to, even though they have scant knowledge of biblical things, they will recognize, many will recognize the name Judas Iscariot. His name is forever associated with one who is a traitor. And all down through the years, since the time that this Judas Iscariot walked the face of this earth, men and women who have betrayed their people, those who have been deemed to be unfaithful and not loyal to their own organization or to their own country, very often have been given the title, "Oh, he's just a Judas." Everyone knows what the name means and what it is associated with. Now, we want to say that the name Judas itself is a good name, because the name Judas and Jude and Judah all mean the same thing. They mean praise. And he was given that name by his parents. It was an honorable name, and he dishonored that name. We know that Judah was one of the patriarchs, and that the Lord Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Judah, that is the royal tribe. He was of the line of Judah. The name Iscariot, in case you're wondering, it simply means a man of Cariot. The word Ish at the beginning meaning man, and the Cariot really was the town or the area from which he came. This man, this individual, he had joined himself to the followers of Christ for quite a considerable time. It was 3 years. And during that time, he heard firsthand the best sermons that ever were preached. He would have had great difficulty in faulting what the Lord Jesus said and the messages that were preached to the multitudes. He heard them, and also he was with the 12 when Christ spoke to them alone and shared private things with them. He was also there when Christ was praying. He lived in very close proximity to the Lord Jesus Christ and the other disciples. So he was a man who enjoyed considerable privilege even during the time he was with the disciples there. But I believe that he also had an interest in the Word of God, because being with them for those years, he had to set out on preaching trips. And needless to say, when those men returned from their preaching trips, they would have been speaking about what had happened and who had been saved and how things had been changed around, and maybe the opposition that they faced and so on. But I believe also very possible that he preached along with the others. He certainly had to be there and to be listening there with the others. What I'm saying tonight is that he seemed to be a genuine man. And we don't want tonight to look upon him as one who is simply slipping around. He was there for all to see. He was constantly among these peoples, right next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced tonight that those who heard and those that he kept company thought, well, here is a man who is among the very best of men. But we must remember tonight that Judas Iscariot was never born again. He was never a disciple of the Lord. And if I can go back again to what I said at the very beginning, every one of you tonight know about Judas. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people in Ulster tonight who perhaps don't have a great deal of time for evangelical churches, they will know what Judas did. And it'd be very easy tonight to stand and just to draw attention to what he did. But this evening I want to draw your attention not to what Judas Iscariot did do, but to what he didn't do. And that is the title of the message tonight: Vital Things Judas Did Not Do. Vital Things Judas Did Not Do. I want to say, first of all, that Judas did not scrutinize. He did not scrutinize. If you study the life of the disciples and you do a character study on those men, you will look at his life as you would at others. And you might ask yourself the question, well, where did it all go wrong? How did this apparently good man, in the very best of company, how did he become one of the most notorious assistants of the devil who ever lived? He had a good reputation. Must remember that reputation is simply what other people think. It is character that shows us what we really are. And a very interesting part concerning this man was that other disciples had flaws in characters too, in their character too. Some of them were outspoken. We've mentioned them before. Some of them seemed a bit hard at times. Certainly some of them were ambitious in a wrong way. And I believe that Judas actually, it seems to me that outwardly he seemed a nicer individual than some of them, if we're fair tonight. You do not find him rebuking the Lord. He does not ask the Lord if he can call down fire. If you were to line him up with the others, Judas certainly was among the best of them. Now, I mentioned that Peter and James and John, they revealed their flaws by their speech and their behavior. But the Lord loved them. And the Lord worked in them and through them, and he dealt with the flaws, and he still used them, and he still does that tonight. He still comes along and he deals with the flaws. We can't hide them from him. But this man had a very serious flaw, because what he appeared, it was not what he was. Don't misunderstand me here. He was not a Christian. The Lord on one occasion said, I have chosen you, but one of you is a devil. It's as simple as that. One of you is a devil. And his flaw was not outwardly manifest, but lurking within his own breast. He was, in a sense, he was a hypocrite. And what is a hypocrite? Well, the word hypocrite literally means a play actor. And Judas Iscariot, he ranked among the very best of them. He was able to go along and to present himself as one of the very best of Christian servants. I know that one time, at least, he let the shield down a little bit, or the veil slip a bit, when the lady here anointed the Lord. He was among those who complained. Other disciples would have heard his word, but they did not discern what he was saying. Such was the way that he lived. So what do we mean then when we say that he did not scrutinize? His great fault as far as this was concerned was that he did not look into. While he preached to others and he seemed to have time for the word, he did not look into and scrutinize his own heart. He didn't do that. He was undoubtedly a materialist. But he seems to have given all of his focus and all of his attention to gaining what he could, to having the reputation that he had, but there's not a word of him searching his own heart. And men and women, one of the greatest dangers that an unconverted person can come up against is this, that when you are like Judas Iscariot, and you're among Christian people, and you're there where the word of God is, and you seem to even show a respect for the word of God, and you seem to be a decent and an upright character, all of these facts can blind you to your greatest need. And that need is to look into your heart and ask yourself the question tonight. Forget about everyone else. Ask yourself the question, have I been to Jesus for the cleansing power? And am I washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have I been to Jesus for the cleansing power? And am I washed in the blood of the Lamb? I think I mentioned to you before here in the congregation many years ago now, a good number of years ago over on the mainland, there was two individuals who seemed to have everything that you would associate with Christianity. Their words were right. Their attitude seemed to be right. As far as other people were concerned, he was a gentleman and she was a lady, and they were the best of Christian people. But it was me that was speaking to them just at the door when I realized that their position was not altogether far removed from the position of Judas. Everyone respected them and thought that all was well with them. But I can still remember the day at the door in January in Bridlington when I realized, and they did too, that they had never scrutinized their own heart. Everything that was attributed to them regarding Christianity was just superficial. The real root of the problem with the human heart had not been dealt with as far as they were concerned, because they had never scrutinized their own heart. They had never looked into their heart and asked themselves that question, am I saved or not? There's so many people like that in Northern Ireland. Maybe people come to our meetings from time to time and they're like that as well. But you know, the Word of God scrutinizes our hearts and searches us out. And we read there about the Word of God being quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as we speak, even in meetings like this, it is at times like this that the Lord comes along, and as he did with Lydia long ago. You've heard of her in the Bible. She's a good person too. For long enough, she hadn't scrutinized her heart either. And there at the riverside, she did that. And the Lord opened her heart. And then she paid attention to the things that Paul was preaching. And it was there that she came. It was there, and only there, that she was brought from darkness into light. You see, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Bible tells us concerning the Lord that everything is open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And he knows exactly where you are tonight, man or woman or young person. And however good in the eyes of society you might be, if you do not have Christ, it is not good enough. It is not good enough. We know that last year, the time of the Reformation, the celebrations of that, when all the tracts went from our presbytery through the doors of Northern Ireland homes, we know that some people took great exception to that, to being told that they were not good. Well, what's your definition of good? Surely we ought to measure up how we are in accordance with what the Word of God teaches. And the Bible shows us very clearly, if we do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are still in our sin. Judas was good at what he did, but one of the vital things that he did not do was search out his own heart. And that's what you need to do tonight. You need to look beyond everything else and need to ask yourself that vital question: do I know the Lord Jesus or do I not? It's one or the other. Remember what it says over there in the book of Obadiah regarding the children of Edom. Whenever the Babylonian war machine came into Jerusalem and destroyed the city, the Edomites, they were up on the mountainside, and they watched Israel being destroyed and taken captive, and even went down there and they blocked the way for some of them who would have escaped. And they didn't do really very much in comparison to what the Babylonians did. But the word of the Lord to them was this: on the day that thou stoodst on the other side, and you stood and watched, on the day that thou stoodst on the other side, thou wast as one of them. Yes, people associate Judas Iscariot with Nero, or with Stalin, or with Hitler, and with a whole host of others, monsters in history. But you know, in many ways, he's just like people today. He didn't scrutinize his own heart. And I went along content to have a good reputation and building his life as best he could around material things. He was brilliant at what he did, hiding it, there's no doubt. But that was one of the vital things that he did not do. He did not scrutinize, but secondly, he did not prioritize. Judas was faced with a choice that sealed his destiny. When you read in the book of Psalms and in the prophecy of Zechariah concerning Judas, please do not think that he was just some sort of a helpless tool in the hand of the devil. Don't think that he was a poor man and he just happened to be the unfortunate one that was put in this position and he never did have an opportunity. Well, he did. Now, we believe in God's sovereignty, but we also believe that man has responsibility for his action. Maybe you turn in your Bible to John's Gospel, chapter 13, for just a moment. The closing hours of Christ's life on earth, probably the most outstanding and the dominating theme was Christ's humility, humbling himself and washing his disciples' feet. And I know that all through the years, people have become a little bit puzzled with this passage and wondered, well, why is he doing that? Well, in performing this task, he was giving a great warning to Judas. If you look there in John's Gospel, chapter 13, you'll see here that the Lord warned him that he needed spiritual cleansing. In that chapter, John chapter 13, verse 10, it says, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And then look what it says in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. The truth which the Lord wanted to impress upon Judas was that he needed spiritual cleansing. A washing, men and women, that would affect his soul in the sight of God. And for everyone gathered here that is a Christian, that has been your experience. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It says there over in the book of Hebrews, you needn't turn to it, I'll read it in verse 22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission, or the word meaning there is no dismissal or release. If you haven't been washed in that blood, then you're still in bondage to your sin. And God, or Christ, came along here, and he was giving this man, Judas, an opportunity. And you've had one or two as well. And you've been confronted with your need of spiritual cleansing before. Revelation 4, and the verse 9, this is what it says over there. Book of Revelation 5, sorry, and the verse 9. It's over here in the end of time. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, it's referring to Christ, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Redeemed by blood alone. People in all the different corners of the earth. And the Lord now has come and he's warned this man, Judas, that he needs spiritual cleansing. And in warning Judas, men and women, of course, there is a warning to us all. A warning to us all. I heard not very long ago of a situation, and we know that this is the marching season. And some of us were out on the 12th and some on the 13th as well. And there, and some very dignified marches, and that's true. Very dignified lodges. But not very long ago, a group of individuals who had been involved in this, and the person was preaching, that they were listening to, and he was preaching the gospel as it is to men and women as they are. And they started whispering among themselves, and there's a believer there, and they heard what they said. And one of them said, I wonder when he is eventually going to shut up. I wonder when he's eventually going to shut up. Didn't like the warning. Didn't like being unsettled in their sin. And I'm sure Judas wasn't that happy about it either. In fact, I'm dead sure he wasn't. And maybe you're not. But count it a mercy tonight that the Lord should come along and warn you and show you even through the teaching of his word that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That you need that spiritual cleansing. He showed Judas something else here. He showed Judas how this could be accomplished. Back in John 13 again, please. How this could be accomplished. A very unusual scene there in verse 4. It says, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. You might think, well, what's the significance in that? Well, I don't know what exact garments he was wearing, but he laid them aside. He used a towel. The towel was associated with a slave. So he was taking the lowly position and washing the feet of the people here. And what a graphic picture there is of the great spiritual truth of the work of Christ on the cross. And when the Savior spoke of his glory with the Father in the Bible, where he had dwelt, it tells us about him, as it were, laying aside his outer garments, making himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, humbling himself and becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. God's perfect servant stooped low, that you and I might be picked up out of our sin. And here, in putting on this towel, he was showing Judas that the only way for him to be cleansed was to come to the one who stooped in humility. Remember what we said? Judas had all the outward trappings, and maybe you have as well. I'm not bothered with that. He had all the outward trappings, and yet he remained in his sins. He remained in his sins. One of the hardest jobs that any minister has. There's no good funerals. But one of the hardest jobs at a funeral is doing the committal at a graveside of someone you know left no testimony. Someone you knew perhaps had received the warnings too. And yet there were other things in their life that seemed to get the priority. And just like Judas Iscariot long ago, they did not prioritize. He was short-sighted. He did not want to hear that he needed spiritual cleansing. Remember what the Lord said concerning him, that one of you has a devil. The Bible says concerning him that Satan entered into him and that he gave place to the devil. That's really what it means. Later, Judas realized what he had done. What did he do? He exercised his choice as far as man's responsibility was concerned. And he said no. He wouldn't come. And all around us tonight, there are men and women who have been reached in a similar way. The warning is as pointed and as personal as possibly it can be. And God has the whole thing set up that you might hear the gospel, that you might hear that you need to be saved. You can be saved if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to prioritize, and you're not doing it. You're not doing it right. You're not recognizing that above all things, it is Christ that you need. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus that he came to his own, but his own received him not. And it says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And where it says there as many as received him, or that believe on his name, it means believing in your heart, not a head knowledge, but in effect receiving him and resting upon his work alone. And here we have him. Everything has been organized and set up that Judas Iscariot, the man who was such a good actor, the man who had the other disciples fooled. Remember when the Lord said that one of you will betray me, they started asking, "Is it I, Lord?" One didn't say to the other, "I always put a question mark over that boy. Or I always had a little bit of doubt about him, or there's always something a bit shifty about that character." Nobody said that. They simply asked, "Lord, is it I?" He was so good. But now he's confronted with Christ. He's challenged. He's put in that situation where he will either say, "Yes, I'm going to have this cleansing," or "No, I will go on my merry way." I hope that's not what you're planning to say tonight in the meeting. But I hope you will come and put your trust in him. Vital things that Judas didn't do. He didn't scrutinize his own heart. When he was confronted here, as it shows us in John 13, by the Lord, he didn't prioritize properly. But he didn't recognize. He didn't recognize. When you read in the Word of God about Judas leaving the upper room, what did he not recognize? He didn't recognize that he had spurned the Lord. Now listen to this very carefully. He did not recognize that he had spurned the Lord's warning to him for the very last time. He didn't recognize that. We know that later he, in the garden, he kissed Christ on the cheek. That was a custom and a sign of honor. But as far as he was concerned, it was a sign of betrayal. He would have been familiar with the Old Testament teaching and didn't sink in what's taught in Zechariah. It didn't seem to sink in about the 30 pieces of silver. Read in Zechariah, but 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave. He'd heard his final preaching. He'd personally, in a very, very particular way, with those that he'd been close to for 3 years now, men who knew a lot about each other. Of course, they didn't see through him. But among them and there with the Lord, a final, genuine warning was given to him. And you know something? It didn't sink in. It didn't sink in. So it is when we have missions around our churches and in little halls and tents. And so many stories that we hear of people who came along, so-and-so down the road, he came along to the mission a couple of nights. But so often these days it's the same story. It didn't seem to sink in. It didn't seem to make any impact upon them. And someone said concerning Judas Iscariot that never was so much sold for so little. Never was so much sold for so little. The Bible tells us that Judas went to his own place. And please do not tonight for a moment think that he went back to the disciples. That was not his own place. His own place is hell, the caverns of the damned. That's where he went. And we've looked at this man tonight and some of the vital things he didn't do. He didn't scrutinize his own heart. He didn't prioritize. He did other things, but he didn't realize or recognize. This is the very last one. This is the very last warning for me. And as we wind up the message tonight, we want to ask you the question. If you find yourself tonight and you're honest enough to say, "Well, I'm not saved. I'm among Christians, and I like that. And I believe the Bible to be the Word of God." Those things in themselves are fine, but that is not the issue. The issue tonight is, do you look into your own heart and see it as it is? dark and lost and undone. And what about prioritizing? Are you going to say tonight, King of my life, I crown thee now? Are you going to come to Christ and trust him? Or are you just going to, as it were, sell him, as Judas did? Someone said this many years ago, and I've written it down. They said, it may not be for silver, it may not be for gold, but yet by tens of thousands, the Prince of Life is sold. Sold for a godless friendship, sold for a selfish aim, sold for a fleeting pleasure, sold for an empty name. Judas went out into the night, never to return. And very soon you'll go out through the door of the building here. And men and women and young people, we don't want you to go like him. God has given to you another opportunity tonight. Can be a great night for you if you will but come to Christ tonight. Nothing short of repentance. When you turn on the radio, we're tired listening to wishy-washy preaching that does not bring men and women, point to them, out to them their need of repentance and turning from sin and then embracing Christ as their Savior and enjoying all that is found in him. Judas went out into eternity, with nothing but memories of Christ's rejection. And you know something? He's not the only one. He's not the only one. Do you remember what I said about ministers' hardest task? Bearing on converted men and women. You can come to Christ tonight. We thank you for listening. But we trust that you will see these vital things that Judas did not do. See how vital they are. And that tonight you will make sure that you see your responsibility to come as a sinner and come tonight and be saved for time and for eternity.